and welcome to another episode of Power and Rock Podcast. My name is Jim, your host, and I would like to welcome two very special guests today, Mike and Scotty from the band Swamp Juice, right here in Atlanta, Georgia. How you doing, guys?
I'm great, man. Just
let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. How did Swamp Juice come about? How did it originate?
Oh, wow. Well, basically, what it started was is that I didn't have a place to live. And so I moved into a place, and it just happened to be I bumped into this guy that I never met before in my life. And we're both were living in this house that a bunch of people lived in way back in the early 90s. And it's like I didn't really know the guy at all. And so basically we sat around one day, I broke my guitar out, and the guy's like, hey, man, play a song, show me what you got. And I was thinking, well, okay, who is this guy? I didn't really know who he was. And so we wrote a couple songs, and I'm like, well, this is pretty cool. Well, later it comes out, well, I didn't know I moved in with Scotty. He came from a pretty decent band, but he's like, my whole concept was sort of different than his at the time. It was like, I just wanted to, I was like, in the land at that time, it was all about, hey, who could sound, this whole bland thing going on, and I just wanted to be in, like, a really good rock and roll band, and which is really weird, because me and him, like, sort of caught on, wrote some stuff, and then we liked what we were doing, and I guess the funny part of the story is, like, Scotty came out, like, probably one of the biggest glam bands Atlanta ever had, So we were called Smartass. And so it's like, we started writing together, and we're like, well, cool. And at that time, I was playing the band with Gil, Gil Peppers, Tad Tadlock, Braid, Iron Guns or something. Mm-hmm. So I was playing with them, and they just asked me to play guitar with them. And so I was like, yeah, that's cool. And Gil's like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, no, I met this dude, Scotty, and we started writing some songs together. And he's like, you and Scotty's writing songs together? And so it just sort of all started loaded, exploded. So it just sort of domino effect kind of thing happened, And it was like all of a sudden, we're using their rehearsal space to work on new songs, which was really cool. And when we first started, I was like, man, all I care about is, I want to play in some band that sort of like, the Rolling Stones that's just the kind of thing that when you get old or whatever you're doing, that you can still play the same kind of music. And back then I was 24, I didn't really think about it a whole lot, but then it came back later that, man, that was a pretty smart thing to do because... But anyway, we just sort of hit it off, dude. We wrote
together. That's the thing. We wrote good music together and lyrics. And for some reason, Mike and I, he can pick a guitar up and play a note, and I know exactly where he's going with it, and I can throw a lyric down to it. And I'm honored by that,
That's called chemistry.
Yeah, chemistry, yeah. Definitely with us, we never liked chemistry. it was probably the biggest thing about us back then. And it really started from nowhere. Scotty was like sort of starting a band. He was sort of starting a new band. And then he sort of had a guitar player from his old band that he was playing with. And I sort of had something going on. And it was just luck of the cards. We sort of like ended up in the same place.
It was perfect.
And he was working on his thing, and I was working on my thing, and all of a sudden we started playing together. I'm like, hey, well, hell,
let's put them together.
I'm like, I'll call our singer, you call all your old people, and we'll just change everything around. And like I said, as soon as Tad and Gil was like, well, you guys are... And so basically, how it came about was, is one night we're all rehearsing at RTM, and we wrote our first song together, Swamp Juice Boogie.
Yep.
And so we're sitting there, we're just all chilling out, and then Gil and then Singer walked in, and was like, looked at us and said, what the hell y'all doing? So
Gil, Mike, and Ted said, well, we're joining Mike and Scotty's band.
So as you guys started a group, the first song that you came up with, was called Swamp Juice Boogie.
Yes.
I'll tell you what.
It was their first song. I mean, honestly, if you go back further than that, me and Sky, your sword really even wrote a song called, you know, in which is so, like, weird nowadays that we sort of started working on a song that was called 20 Years From Now or something. Yeah. And then sort of came a song that me and him just now finished 25 years later. But Swamp Juice Boogie, that was our baby.
Yep.
You know, it was the first thing that we did together. And
what caused the band name, you know?
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, I'll tell you what. Since we've talked about Swamp Juice Boogie, why don't we go ahead and let the listeners hear Swamp Juice Boogie by my boys from Swamp Juice. Turn it up here on Power Rock Podcast.
Thank you.
And there you have it, my friends. Swamp Juice Boogie. Man, I'm going to tell you, man. Awesome tune. It truly is. What would you say is your favorite Swamp Juice story? As a band... should I hit the delete button?
No, you don't have to hit the delete button. Mike and I have been in so many bad situations when we're just going to do something. And we were taking our dog, his name was Hungwell, it was a family name, and we went to take him to the family's house because we couldn't keep him anymore. And I'm driving a girl's car that I just had met the night before. I did bad things to her, but she gave me her car, and Mike and I drove to Gulf Shores, Alabama, and all of a sudden, the freaking wheel falls out and hits somebody. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember, but it was Memphis.
It was Memphis, okay. Oh, and we were stuck in Memphis, but we got Elvis ain't Memphis anymore out of it.
Well, the part of the whole story, I mean, he's forgetting about it. It's like, all right, so really what happened was the stripper he knew said she wanted us to drive her car to Memphis. And I don't know, she was from there. I can't even tell you what her name was. And Joy.
Her name was Joy.
Okay, it was Joy. So anyways, we pull in, we stop and take pictures at Elvis's birthplace.
Yep.
And we're like so excited. We're like, hell yeah, we're gonna have a good time. We're going to fucking freaking Memphis. And so we start coming in town as a hotel over here. All of a sudden, like, we see these sparks going in front of us. And I'm like, damn, that's sort of weird. And then it's like, all of a sudden, man, this ride is getting really rough. And so what happened was our axle fell apart on the car or whatever. And the tire that fell off passed us. Well, that thing keeps rolling down the street.
You did just say that the tire that fell off passed you. You did just
I swear I'm not making this. The tire passed us. We're sitting there like, the tire passes us. Scotty's like, the sparks coming everywhere. He's getting in.
There's
a hotel on the right. He's like, he turned, I mean, dude can't drive. This is like the only time he ever drove good in his whole entire life. There's like sparks everywhere, and then it's like, we slow down, and he pulls in perfectly in a parking lot. The tire that was in front of us slams the car next to us. Just standing inside the car. We're thinking, fuck. Well, you know, the guy that owned the car, he's sitting on the pool. He's drunk as dog crap. And he walks out and goes, hey, I hope you guys are tired. I hope you guys don't mind, but you don't mind if we don't call the police or anything. We're like, oh, hell yeah. No, just don't call the police.
Call the police.
But anyway, so the whole deal of the story was we got stuck there. We were there for like 2 or 3 days, and then there was this really cool titty bar, and so me and Scotty hung out at this titty bar with these girls for about 2 days of that, and then Tony, our drummer's father, was like, you know, he went and bought these tickets at Greyhound Will Call, and so, you know, we finally get back to Greyhound Station to get back to Atlanta, and then... The guy's like, hey, I can't find him on the thing. You need to go across the street to the payphone and call the people who bought the tickets. And at that point, I was like, I've been drinking for 2 days. So it was like, you know what? And then all of a sudden, this officer comes over, and I'm like, he's like, hey, you need to, like, lower your voice. And I said, you know, hey, you're a freaking security officer. What could you do to me? And then, boom, it's the greatest line of forever was, I'm not a security officer, I'm a Memphis police officer, and you're going to jail. So the worst part of the story for me was, I had to spend a day and a half in jail while Scotty got to hang out with the strippers that we all met, and have fun, and then
he thought I left. Well, and I didn't leave, I wasn't going to leave him. So I walk into the courtroom the next morning, and Mike is there before the judge, and I see the judge dismiss it, but he doesn't see me. So I come running out of the courtroom as Mike's coming out, and Mike sees me and goes, oh, dude, I thought you left me. He's like, no, dude, I ain't going to leave you.
And we got Elvis Ain't Memphis Anymore out of it. We got a song out of it. So,
oh, yeah, and it was a great song.
Yeah, it was a great song.
I mean, I was really good about it a different way. I mean, it works out better when it happens to him. But, yeah, that was, you know, and it was horrible, dude. Then we go to jail, man.
Well, Scotty, I could certainly understand now why you had left the band. However, we're going to get into that a little bit later. But what I'd like to know is this, is that if you could sum up Swamp Juice with one particular song.
No, that's hard, dude. That's real difficult. Mike and I could
constantly write new songs. But no, honestly, I could. You can count on me. Only because it's such a joke. We wrote the song "You Can Count on Me" because
you can't.
Basically, you can never count on us.
I would say "Walk Away" was one of the things that Mike and I did, and it took 5 minutes to write it, and we didn't record it. The engineer,
he's saying to sum us up.
To sum us up,
you gotta say, well, you can, you know.
You can count on me. Was
okay, that was good? Really, you yeah. never count on us. That was the full sum of the whole band.
Yep, and
my joke.
And that's an open G too. Homage to Rolling Stones. You know, I don't know. I think everything encompasses us. You know, whether we're writing new songs or playing old songs, we are what we are. You know, and it never changes.
Well, you know what? Yeah, one of my favorite tracks, actually, there's several, but you mentioned a couple songs, and one of them hit a nerve with me, a good nerve, and the song is called "You Can Always Count on Me."
Yeah.
And I think we should go ahead and let the listeners check that
cool.
out. What do you say?
Cool.
All right.
Cool deal.
All right, here it is. "You Can Always Count on Me" with Swamp Juice.
Cool.
You can count on me.
Okay. So, too bad we didn't have Gil here, man. You know, I'd really like to make some serious fun of him. But, you know, he reminds me, Gil, for the listeners who don't know, Gil is the drummer. And to me, he reminds me of a cartoon character. I don't know what it is. Something like maybe the Flintstones. I don't know. He's just hilarious. He's...
You know, the real weird thing is when we met Gil, he was like in special ed class. And it was like, because we're all young, man. And he always pulled up in a little short bus. And like, no one wanted to be friends with him. We're like, hey, Gil. And they didn't even tell everybody these waterhead stories and shit. And we're all like, oh, okay. All right, Gil, yeah. But anyways, yeah, he ended up being a pretty good guy. Too bad he can't be here.
And if he was here, he probably couldn't really speak to you properly. If he told you anything bad.
Well, I know he's working at an air conditioning company part-time or full-time or whatever. I think that Freon's getting to him. I really do.
Oh, yeah. Damn, he got a job? I know he made it like 15 years without one, which it sort of made him like a hero.
Right, right.
But, and on a side note, you know, Mike and I, we have always worked our mother effing asses off in other aspects, just being in the band. You know, we never made money playing in Swamp Juice, but we made money working our asses off, and you know, we still have that work ethic and that play ethic, you know.
Sure.
Every time I come to see Mike, I know we're going to put a good song together, and it's sad that people can't hear it, but I'm grateful for you for putting something like this together to where people can hear our shit, man. And I'm real, real proud to talk to you, brother.
Well, you know, it's an honor for me because Swamp Juice had a benefit concert. Mike, remind me of what date was that? I don't remember.
It was for Nate. Nate's daughter. Yeah.
When Nate passed away, yeah.
He died in a construction accident, and that was the gig that they played, and that was my birthday that I wanted to be a part of. I just couldn't do it.
And that was the benefit for Grace, correct?
And you had fun, huh?
You know, I had the opportunity, that's when I had the opportunity to meet Swamp Juice, and I have to say, I was blessed, I really was, because the guys, each and every one of you guys, treated me with the utmost respect. You know, you don't find that a lot today in rock and roll. I absolutely just love the way that you mingled with the fans. And, you know, after 20-something years of playing live, that was your first show that you've done live. And I personally, my mouth was dropped. I'm like, wow. And
well, that's totally cool. That's totally free. You know what? When he was there that night, we hung out a lot. But you seemed totally, and everybody, you know, because a lot of so many people, when we came back and played it, said they didn't really know, I mean, what we was about. But, you know, it was pretty amazing, man. It was a great turnout that night. And you could see within about 30 minutes, you get really drunk and shit-faced, what we were all about. You know, I mean, not just, you know, but we were always able to throw the party, and a lot of people took it the wrong way. They were like, oh, man, everybody wants to go party at one of their shows, but honestly, we threw some good music.
Music is the...
You know, we sort of like always, that was number one with us. But, you know, it was weird. We always had a little love-hate thing with Lennon. A bunch of people would show up to always see us play, but then they'd always be like, yeah, you know, it was a total love-hate thing. They didn't really like us, but they all came to our concerts.
To do their own deal, you know, they knew if you came to a Swamp Juice show, you're going to hook up one way or another with be it whatever you want. That's what you're getting. And you know, we're the band Atlanta loves to hate, and I don't necessarily feel comfortable with that.
I wish people would understand that we just came to entertain them, because that's all we do, is we put the music out and play the songs and entertain them. And, you know, anything backstage or whatever, that shit shouldn't be talked about. You know, we're here to entertain people, you know, and we want to do it for a long, long, long time.
Right on.
Here we are in our 40s. And I want to do this when I'm 70, dude.
Absolutely.
With these people. But there was a time back when we were like, you know, we all sort of got together at a young age.
Yeah.
When I first met Scotty and this all started happening, you know, it was like, you know, we're probably like, you know, 23 years old, you know. So, you know, it's like, so then when this all ended, we were like just about to turn 30, 31, you know, and then, you know, me and Scotty went out west and ended up, you know, but it was like, so you pretty much thought it was all over with. You thought, well, because we all play music at a very young age. We're all pretty much playing music going in bars before we're old enough to go into a bar, because we're playing music.
Yeah.
So, right. You know, when we start getting at that 28, 29, that 30, you know, all except for John.
But I tell you what, brother, I never thought, and I never think that, I always think I'm going to come and play with Mike again, everybody in the band, and jamming. I tell you, it sounded like we rehearsed last night, and that was the first time in 20 years we played together. And that, you know, it makes my heart feel good.
It kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier, that it's chemistry. You know, when something is meant to be, it's to be. It's you know, you could try to break it, but it's just going to come right back.
It does. It comes back. And, you know, Mike and I can go 3 or 4 years, and then we'll call each other up and say, hey, man, I got an idea, and we'll go down to the studio and record it. And now we're to the point, I think I'm to the point now, to where I'd rather, instead of coming back every couple of years to play a song, I'd rather just put the band back together and get on stage and rock the motherfucking house.
Right on.
Scotty's just now feeling what we felt like that first show we did when you was there a year and a half ago. It was like, you know, it's like we all sort of forgot that feeling.
Yeah.
And then when we all started, you know, and it's weird because I lived in really cool places.
We thought so many.
When we left Swamp Juice, man, we left it on top.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, we were like, it was all, you know, we pretty much was like,
shit.
You know, it was a good deal, you know, but then, you know, which I don't know if it was a great decision, but when we left out there, it's like everything, you know,
right.
You had to totally reprove yourself again, and like, you don't want to go out to California and be a slacker.
Right. You know what? I wanted to jump.
You know, like you said, it's symbiosis, it's chemistry. I've played with other people, I've played with the guitar players, and, you know, Mike Lee, he is the baddest motherfucker on the planet, guitar wise. And when he can say hey, and I can say you, you know, and I know what he wants. It's Dootsum, you know. We're Mick and Keith. We're Steven and Perry. You know, it's just something that.
But you know, we haven't closed the project.
Right.
And I guess that's a big thing about us right now. It's like, you know, because we're like, you know, when people say, "Oh, they retire from the NFL, or whatever," like
we can't
at the top of the game, we sort of did the same thing.
Yep.
We live in a small town, or you know, it's not a small town, but you know, we sort of like
big left fish it. And a little.
We sort of left it at the time when things were really happening for us. I mean, there was a lot of things we don't have.
Loved or hated them, we were never ignored.
But. You know, of course now we're, you know, sort of now it's like we're, you know, we have a little, you know, we're, you know, we always wrote good songs together.
Yeah.
That's probably been the hardest thing since we started playing together again.
Right. It's kind of funny, Scotty, you don't know this. The first time that I ever met Mike, actually, was in a club in Atlanta, and he was working, I think you were a manager or assistant manager for a club there, Mike, is that correct?
Yeah, I was managing the bar, yeah, working on bands.
And I was there to film a particular band, and we ran, you know, I asked for you, and you came up to me. And my first, that was the first time we've ever laid eyes on each other, and my wife was with me. And I, after we got done talking, I turned to my wife, and I says, this guy's truly an asshole. I had, no, I'm serious. I am serious. I says, and then when we became friends on Facebook, I realized this is the same dude I just called an asshole. And then, here I am, I had absolutely no clue that Mike even played a guitar. Matter of fact, all I thought he knew how to do was drink beer.
You know, he never tells anybody, that's the thing about Mike. Well, you don't tell people that he's so fucking good, and that's the thing, you are blown away when you hear that motherfucker play.
When he picked up that guitar at the Benefit for Grace... I tell you, I got chills, man. I was like, no way can this dude play that guitar like that after all these years. But he pulled... I'm serious, it was great. But you know what? We were talking about that Benefit for Grace. Mike, there was a particular... We did a little promo together. And we used a specific track. Do you remember what that track was?
Tallulah.
Correct. Now... Can you give me a little bit of history about that song?
Oh, well, me and Jeff Heffley put that song together. Tallulah was a name of a girl that didn't exist, but she was the one that, you know, suffered and had the hardships and everything else. And
no, it was a little different than that.
That's how I wrote the lyric, though. But here's really what happened. We went to this town out in the middle of nowhere in Georgia. It was called something.
That's where the name came from. Tallulah
Falls. That's where the name came from. But the song came from
talking about a girl dealing with hardship, you know.
Which, namely, Jeff always had to deal with hardships from girls. Which Jeff was like, you know, he was like my best buddy, you know. Like,
but he was the puppy dog.
When we got Jeff in the band, I was like, I mean, I was like pretty much said,
this is it.
You know what? We're not going to audition any guitars or anything. This guy is going to be the guy that plays in our band.
But the song, you know, it's about a girl who's having a hard time, you know, and she'll tell you a story that you won't believe. That's the whole thing, you know, with the beginning of the song. She'll tell you a story that you won't believe.
Very, very cool. That's an interesting way to put it, man. I dig that. So what we're going to do is I want the listeners to hear Tallulah. And here it is.
Okay, man.
Here it is with Swamp Juice.
Thank you.
we're back. And I'm here to tell you, man, if anybody ever gets the chance that lives in the Georgia area, man, I highly suggest you come out and see Swamp Juice. They will rock your world. You will be impressed. Hell, they may even scare you. I don't know. Unbelievable group of guys. Go ahead and play just a couple back-to-back tracks of My Choice. Is that cool with you?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure. Well, I think what we'll do is Kiss in the Bottle.
You know, what's my favorite song? You know, that song is about being a freaking alcoholic.
Oh, I for some reason I had that impression. However, you know, I'm glad you said it, not me. So here it is, Kiss in the Bottle. And Run with Swamp Juice. Turn it up here on Power Rock Podcast.
Yeah. got the wife and kids. Everything that money can buy, but life just don't seem like it is. He thinks he fools everyone, the only one he's fooling is himself. Sits at home weeknight and tries to dream of something else. Got a mother. Never dream of nothing else. He still thinks he's fooling them, but he knows it's all a very same. He sits awake at night just like everyone and dreams of running away.
Guys, I want to thank you truly from the bottom of my heart for taking your time and speaking with me.
Jim, you are awesome. Jim, dude, you know, I feel like such an old motherfucker now. You know, you are so cool to do this kind of stuff. And I feel so blessed that you even want to talk to me, dude. So I'm very happy to talk to you. And
and you blew my mind, dude. I didn't think anybody wanted to hear anything I had to say anymore, so I'm very happy to talk to you.
Well, I thank you for thank you for your kind words. You know, I never say anything I don't mean, man. I'm a straight shooter. I shoot from the hip, and I tell you like it is. And that Swamp Juice has a lot to offer the people. You know, being an indie artist, it's very difficult. And especially in today's music world, man, you know. Being an indie artist is, people don't realize the amount of work, the self-promotions, the, you know, just all the pre-order stuff, you know, merchandise. It's a lot of work when you're doing it, you know, you're working a job and you're trying to, you know, live your dream as a musician. And, you know, after, you know, 20-something years, you know, here you guys are working on your second CD. And, you know, I admire that. That's straight-up dedication. And it is an honor and a privilege for me to call you guys friend, man. It truly is.
You know, dude, once again, I fully am honored to talk to you. And, you know, Mike and I, we have a reputation here, but the reputation that we have is not the people that we are now. We just want to play fucking music and entertain people, you know, and I think that's what every musician wants to do, is just get up on stage and play a fucking song and make people have fun, you know. All the bullshit aside, you know, I'm just happy to be in their presence again, and I'm very glad to be a part of Swamp Juice, and I'm very glad that I got to speak to you, Jim. You're a good man, and I wish you'd come see us play.
I will be down in that area. You know, Mike and I keep in contact, and I will be I'll be down there hopefully the next gig. You know, sometimes things get a little rough around here. Me living up in the mountains, and I can't make them all, but I certainly will be down there. I have to bring my wife this time because she needs a taste of the juice.
Oh, dude, you can stay in my house. It's nice and clean. Just smells like dogs. I've been single for the last 8 months. Don't clean my house.
All right, there you have it. An interview with Swamp Juice. Again, you guys, I know I've said this multiple times, but it was an honor and a privilege to talk to you. I look forward to talking to you and seeing you guys shortly. You guys have a wonderful evening. This is Jim with Power Rock Podcast. Peace! Try to tell me.